one after the other. It was just fascinating to listen, and it all made sense. It wasn't, you know, something that he threw together just to impress. Indeed, not. He wrote many, many books. His most famous series that I'm familiar with is called Explore the Book by J.C. Baxter. It was a good synopsis of each of the Bible. It's like a 6-volume set. Well, all right, let's get back on the track here now. So the third blessing that God gives is in having plenty. Now, if we go to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19, under the heading of plenty. If ye be willing and obedient, so there you see again, if you obey, he blesses. In this case, it's a blessing of plenty. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So here the curse was indeed a military one. The blessing was that they would eat the good of the land. I believe we can take this and apply it in our own daily life, that if we obey the Lord in our living, he is going to lead and guide and work in our life in such a way as to provide for us and give us what we need. But if we don't, if we ignore the word of God, if we ignore the Spirit of God speaking to us, then the conditions and the circumstance of our life is going to overtake us. Here it was a military overtake. In our daily life, it may just be that he is, because he's going to take his hand of blessing off through our disobedience, now we are left to our own undoing. And so our dumb choices and the dumb consequences that they bring, the problems that they bring, and then we need to have a reaction to those problems, and because we're not trusting the Lord, now we react, not in a spiritual way, but in a fleshly way, and you get the picture, everything's going downhill. Everything is unfolding, unraveling in our life, and if you're in a place like that where things just seem to be unraveling, just stop. Say, how do I get back in God's will? Because unless he is allowing those things in order to, like a swarm of hornets, to lead you in the direction you ought to go, sometimes we can be obeying, doing right, but God is going to bring some things in our life to get us to do more right. Okay? So it isn't always that we're not by the belt for rebellion. It's just that he wants us to be moving a couple steps closer, and we're satisfied where we're at. And it isn't in the place of absolute horror, but in this case it was. They were disobeying, and so God said, all right, I'm going to let the enemy take care of you. And so we disobeyed. God says, okay, I'll just let you. He has enough to bring judgment. All he has to do is let us bring our own judgment in our own foolish choices and the consequences that come with them. All right, then the next one is number 4, and that's in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 26, and what we're looking at here is peace. And every person, ourselves included, want to have peace. There's a fool who says, no, I like turmoil. No, I don't want peace. I want everything upset and disruptive in my life. All right, Jeremiah 26, verse 13. Therefore now, amend your ways and your doings, 6:13. And obey the voice of the Lord your God. And the Lord will repent him. He will change of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. Again, specific setting in the nation Israel. Applying that to our lives. We disobey God. That disobedience causes him to bring a judgment on us, to bring a discipline on us, and that's going to happen. But if we realize what we're doing is wrong and we repent, we change our direction. Here he says, amend your ways. We change our direction and we do what we know is right and what God would want. Then God says, all right, your now obedient actions cause me to change what you previously had elicited from me. And so, I've done wrong and now I'm going to have to suffer for it. No, repent.
Amen.
Okay? Yeah, you've done wrong and you're going to have problems from it. And especially if it's an outright sin, outright disobedience, you're going to have problems. You knew better and chose wrong. You're going to have a consequence of that. But if you repent of it, God says he will repent. He will change from what you caused him to do. See, it isn't what God wanted to do. God didn't want to do that. He does that for our own good. And every parent knows that.
This hurts me more than it hurts you.
Okay. And the reason I'm chuckling is because unless Dad gets a spanking, he ain't going to hurt him. But what's he talking about? He's talking about a hurt different than the physical.
That's right.
You see? And parents need to do for children things that the kids don't at all like or understand. But the parent does. Why? Because a parent is supposed to be smarter than the kid. And therefore the parent knows what that kind of living, what it's going to bring in their life. And that's why, listen, let me quick pause here. Parents, don't let your children go down the wrong roads that you went down.
Amen.
And what prompted you to go down that wrong road? As you guide your children, you need to lead them in a way that keeps them from those wrong roads. Because you know the harm that comes from it. And this starts in kindergarten and even before, but it starts when they're very, very young. You can't wait till they're teenagers and see your little girl come out in a dress that's way too short, that when she sits in school and crosses her legs, you know what the boys are looking for.
Yeah.
And you can't let her dress like that because you know from your own bad experiences the kind of boys got attracted to her. So you need to guide her in how she dresses. And your boys, you need to teach them what kind of girls they need to be looking at. Because you as a man, you know what kind of girls you looked at. And therefore, you need to try to guide your boys in their thinking and their thought process, showing from the Bible godliness and purity in thought, and steer them to the right kind of girls, because they're going to be, they get to be teenagers, they're going to be interested in each other. You ain't going to stop that, but you can guide that. Okay, it's a very well, I got to move on here. All right. So, verse 13 is God. We can have the peace of God in our life when we obey. Then the Lord will not bring the discipline and the judgment that we have earned. He will repent him of the evil, and the evil there simply means not good. Okay. It's not talking evil in the what we might think was the ultimate sense. All right. The next one is power. And this is a very familiar passage. God, if we are obedient, God will bring power into our life. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. and verse 8, and even as I give the reference, many of you are familiar with it, and certainly when you see it in Acts chapter 1, and you see the 8th verse, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Hear the power that God promises for obedience and doing what he wants. Here the power is specifically stated for being a witness. But we know that there's the power of God needed in so many additional areas of our life as Christians. Power as a husband and wife. Power of God in managing our finances. Power of God in our employment. Power of God as a worker at our place of employment. Power of God as a neighbor where we live. Power of God as a church person. You see, we need the power of God. Because the power of God, yes, when we think of the power of God, we think in this case, like we're talking about witnessing, of giving boldness to witness, or giving us knowledge of what to say. Okay, those are two common areas that we would see that the power of God at work. Boy, to have the boldness to speak and then have the knowledge of what to say. The power of God involves really everything. It involves more than what we may think of in the common sense. It is God at work in our life.
Amen.
We need the power of God in managing our finances. You know, some people are naturally good at managing finances. My son and his wife, they've got it all together. I wish I had their power. I wish I had their ability, okay? I often illustrate, he spends tomorrow's money next week, okay? He's just good at managing it. And then another one of our children spent tomorrow's money yesterday. Okay? Now, she needs, there's only girls left. If you know our kids, you know there's only girls left. That one needs, okay, the power of God to manage. And you know God gave it?
Amen.
It's a second husband. She did not follow God in her first marriage. God, I do not believe, is pleased that a second marriage was necessary. But so much, Pastor, you have hit the nail on the head when you have said so many times, I know you've been married and divorced and some more than once. My concern isn't about that. It's what you're going to do now.
Yeah, amen. In
the marriage you have. My, that is so good. That is so powerful. Thank you for that. Because that's what matters. You can't go back and undo. You can repent of those choices to have your heart right with God, but you can't go back and undo. So all that you can do is make now what it needs to be. And so when we're receiving the power of the Holy Ghost, yes, it is to be a dynamic Christian witness, but it goes far beyond that. All right, now the last one is purity. I'm simply going to read it because I've run out of time, which is no surprise to me, probably you by this point in our relationship. 1 Peter chapter 1. I heard that joke. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Holy Spirit to the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with your heart fervent. Boy, a lot of things there to obey, a lot of blessings that come, but obeying the truth through the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who enables us. I close with this. Maybe we should do more than just routinely pray to him. Perhaps we should talk to him. And we should want to relate to That's what I believe it means to make personal our living for Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Amen.